this week on Win Today.
At the end of the day, you know, men's natural default is boyhood, right? And that is what you see throughout the scriptures of God trying to motivate and elevate men to stand up, speak up.
It's our limiting beliefs that ultimately keep us from becoming the best we're capable of becoming. Something's got to change, but that change has to happen first on the inside. I don't want to wake up in 5 years and say, how did I end up here? It's time to get unstuck. It's time to get your why back. It's never too late. Let's start today.
Helping you develop the courage to get unstuck and reclaim your purpose in a life that never stops moving. This is Win Today. And now, here's your host, Christopher Cook.
Folks, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks for the download as always. Guys, I have been looking forward to this one for a while. You know, because it's 2018 and I think we live in a world, in a culture that is confused and passionate and embittered and even orphaned. I mean, you look at the news and it's all over the place. You look at pop culture and we're inundated with messaging about who we're supposed to be. So I think one of the things we have to do is reclaim identity, reclaim true masculine and feminine identity amidst this cultural trend of what I believe is simply emasculating men and defeminizing women in so many forms. We see it all over. So joining us today to tackle these very sensitive topics is a well-known voice. His name is Dale Partridge. Folks, Dale is a nationally known best-selling author, founder of StartupCamp.com, and is an avid speaker and has been featured in various business publications, including the cover of Entrepreneur Magazine, Fox News, NBC, Inc. Magazine, Mashable, MSN Money, Forbes, and the Los Angeles Times, just to name a few. So what are we talking about today? Today, we're going to be hitting a subject I believe Dale speaks on better than most. Parenting, dating, marriage, sexuality, to even some of the disjointed values society is propagating today. And then we'll be, as Dale says, replacing the lies culture tells us about family and faith with truth that cannot be ignored. But listen, before we get going today, I want to tell you about my good friends over at Kingsfield Grooming. Guys, listen, if you're in the Metro Detroit area and are looking for a top-notch haircut, guys, listen, I mean really high-quality men's grooming, go see the guys at Kingsfield Grooming today. Listen, you can book your appointment now at kingsfieldgrooming.com. And when you go in, mention Win Today, and you will receive $5 off your cut. Guys, that's nearly 20% off, and I'm telling you, they know men's fashion and fades like no one else. I'm telling you what, a crispy fade, whew, like no one else. So do this, book your appointment today, mention the show when you arrive, and you're going to save some money. Finally, folks, stay tuned. Right after my conversation with Dale Partridge, business coach Joe Peachy is back with this week's Quick Tips. But right now, let's get to my featured conversation with the one, the only, Dale Partridge. Dale, welcome to Win Today.
Dude, super stoked to be here.
I'm so honored. Dale, listen, many people are really familiar with you, but for those who aren't, I'd really love for you to give everyone a background about you, who you are, what you do today as a writer and entrepreneur, and then really, what's your why behind the what?
Yeah, so great question. I grew up in Southern California, didn't become a believer until I was 18, was not an entrepreneur, got fired from almost every job that I was a part of because I just realized that I wasn't, at that time, I didn't realize that I was unemployable. And I started my first business when I was 18, had multiple companies through, you know, this period between 18 and 30. From starting a rock climbing gym to a conference company that I had Rick Warren and Dr. John Townsend come speak at 1,000 people our first year.
Wow.
It was a fun journey. I was 22. We had a company called The Daily Positive, and then Startup Camp, and then Sevenly, which was probably one of the companies that I guess most people know me
sure.
for. We had
yep.
about almost 50 employees and a larger footprint. financially, and it was a big business. We raised about $4 million for charities. Got married when I was 24. Been married for 8 years now, going on nine. My wife and I have we have three kids. We have 4, 2, and 8 months. And so we're in the thick of it in terms of parenting mode.
I bet.
A couple years ago, wrote a book called People Over Profit, became a Wall Street Journal bestseller, Launch Your Dream, have a new book coming out this April called Saved from Success. The subtitle of that book is How God Can Free You from Culture's Distortion of Family, Work, and the Good Life. Really excited about that book. It's my first Christian book. I'm a writer. It's so weird. I don't even know what I am, but people have coined me as a truth sayer, a revivalist, I'm a Bible thumper. People call me that, as, I guess, as an insult, but, I love the Bible and, really have been pushing and challenging the church to make sure that what we're doing lines up with what he's saying. Are That's we actually right. biblical churches, biblical Christians? I run a blog called unlearnchurch.org. It's a nonprofit editorial platform fighting to bring the church back to the Bible. And we are just, out on a mission to speak the truth. Have about 500,000 people that are following along. And I write on generally family, culture, faith and culture, manhood, parenting, marriage. Those are kind of my topics.
Yes.
And just excited to kind of dive to the deep end of the pool with you here today.
Yeah, me too. And folks, that is precisely what we're talking about today. Dale is so good at saying this succinctly, and that's this: replacing the lies culture tells us about authentic masculine and feminine identity, relationships, and how we can get unstuck, folks, from the dysfunctional messaging we're blasted with every day. So, Dale, I'd like to begin talking about men. You know, I believe culture has either emasculated a healthy picture of a man, making him this ultra-passive guy, or pushed masculinity into this corner of being uncaring and insensitive and hot-tempered and fill in the blanks. And, you know, Dale, I really believe that in order to heal anything at the root, we have to first identify that core issue. So what do you believe are some of those specific lies, those root issues that we're told about masculinity?
So I'm going to make you back up in a second, because we're going to go just one step earlier than that question.
Let's do it.
And so there's a quote that I really live by that the guy that's been discipling me told me several years ago. He says, if you believe wrong, you'll never live strong. And so at the end of the day, it's very possible for us to believe wrong, to believe a lie, right? And you talked about it before as you opened up, that we are here to replace lies with truth.
That's right.
And we have to understand, what is truth, right? That's the thing, is what is truth? At the end of the day, there is only one way as Christians to define truth, and the Word of God. You know, I believe it's the Book of John where Jesus says, John actually opens up, says, "Your Word is truth."
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
God's Word is truth, and in Hebrews it says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Okay, that scripture is really important. The Word of God is living and powerful. It is the only thing that we can base the foundation off. So what we're talking about here is we have a world that is walking in common sinful behavior. And we have to remember what is normal, okay? So just because something is common doesn't mean that it's normal. So that's something I want to start off just as a quick foundation. Just because something's common doesn't mean that it's normal. Now, what is normal? The Bible tells us what is normal, right? So it's common for a man to be a workaholic and to, not really cherish his wife and to kind of forget to be romantic and intimate. That's common. It's not normal. What's normal is a man who prioritizes his work properly within his family,
yeah,
who cherishes and pursues his wife and loves her, you know, diligently, who doesn't forget about romance, who, you know, cares for his family and children. That's normal. Again, you know, like another example would be, it's common for your 16-year-old daughter to sneak out and go smoke cigarettes and sleep with a neighbor boy. Okay, it's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, if you believe wrong, you'll never live strong.
Yeah.
The second thing before we even start this conversation is I want to remind people is that this is a conversation to Christians, for Christians, about Christians. Because the world and the church are separated by an impassable gulf, and it's only to be bridged by the gospel and the Holy Spirit. So the conversation that we're going to have today, you can't even hear these words if you don't have the Holy Spirit. Like, you can't even, like, it sounds absurd to you, right? And we know that because 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in the world, or he who is in you, is greater than he who is in the world. But he says, they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So just believe that. You know, God's plan, right, is fruitfulness, multiplication and fruitfulness. Yeah. Not multiplication of just people with a pulse, multiplication of people who love him, right? He's not interested in the diminishing of people who love him. He wants more people who love him.
That's good.
Satan's plan on the other side is this. Men will be boys, women will be men, and children are irrelevant. You can destroy the world with that message right there. And we are seeing it play out everywhere in culture, is that men will be boys, women will be men, and children are irrelevant. We have a massively confusing conversation about things that have never been challenged.
That's
are
right.
being challenged today.
That's right.
And so again, let's, with that conversation in mind, I want to go back to your question.
Sure.
And really approach that, you know, why don't you re-ask it to me just so I have it fresh in my head so that I can ramble.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the picture. Culture has either emasculated a healthy picture of a man, making him really passive, pushed over, or subjected masculinity into a corner of being uncaring and insensitive. So the question is this: what do you believe are some of these specific lies, those root issues that we're told about masculinity?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have an issue where we are seeing men get into video games, workaholism, it's, you know, just avoidance, right? They're just totally checking out in many ways. And again, it is very much a reaction to the feminist culture that's being developed. It's not solely because of that. At the end of the day, you know, men's natural default is boyhood, right? And that is what you see throughout the scriptures of God trying to motivate and elevate men to stand up, speak up, you know, show up, know up, right? That's that kind of concept.
Right.
And so it's a sad moment. Again, my thought is this, the reason the feminist movement is occurring is because men have not stepped up. It's a reaction to, because I'll tell you, at these women's marches, I'm just making a guess here.
Sure.
I don't think that there's many women there who are cherished and loved and cared for and authentically, like, known, and have husbands who just, like, give themselves up for them and lead them, you know, wash their minds by the water of the word. And, like, I don't see that there. And, you know, I just remember I did a post about the day after Trump got put into to office. Right. And there was this huge march
day after. That's right.
DC, yep. The day after. Yep. Right. And we just had the anniversary of that, I think, yesterday.
Yes. Yep.
And so, you know, it's a reaction. In my thought, it's a reaction to the absence of godly men. Right. It's the generation of fathers who never loved, you know, husbands who never cherished, brothers who never valued. Right. This was a picture of the wives, the sisters, the daughters, the aunts, the grandmothers. And they're just out there screaming the songs of oppression. Belittlement, confusion, and ultimately what it made me realize is that the women of our world are hurting for the truth.
Yeah.
And, you know, their protests were ultimately pleas for us to, you know, for more love, for more value, for more leadership. And it's really time for the men. This is the biggest thing, is it's time to recognize the reservoir of wisdom that sits within our women, right? They have that beautiful, you know, that beautiful value. I always tell people, equal value, different role. Equal value, different
role. That's
equal value,
right.
Different role.
Yep.
Right. And it's such an important thing to remember them, is that they are our counterpart. They are not our competition. Right. They are to complement us. They are not our competition. That's how we need to be thinking about gender. And for the men, it's, as I said a little bit ago, it's time to grow up, know up, and show up for the men that into the roles that God placed before us. You know, you know, so it's just, it's a big conversation that we need to have. And we totally need to, it needs to be had in the church for sure. And again, I really believe it stems with the men. So I pick on the men on the internet all the time in terms of just really motivating them, sure. trying to really speak truth into their lives. And so it's very rarely that I have a conversation with women or about women. Sometimes I'll post about it here and there, but it's because people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And
that's right.
I believe the majority of the women follow me have a deep and intrinsic understanding that I really love and care about women.
Absolutely. And, yeah, absolutely. So, oh, it's good, Dale. Well, let's talk about the trajectory of manhood in society then. You know, we hear this phrase kind of going around, and it's the Peter Pan syndrome. And today we have men trapped in emotional adolescence. And we have this culture that has said, we want men to be more feminine. We want women to become more masculine. I've heard you talk about this on your show, Dale. And it's this, that in some ways we prefer egalitarianism. What does real manhood look like? What's that trajectory look like? What practically, as you just kind of said, what do we need to do to step up the game to be the men that we're supposed to be for the woman in our life?
Yeah. So this world is obsessed with everything being equal.
Yeah.
Okay. And in doing so, we've stripped away any chance of us celebrating what makes one gender, you know, greater in certain areas than others. I was just watching I think it's called Ultimate Beastmaster. It's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen it before. And it's a show about all these Olympian type folks that are around the world representing their different countries. And it's male and females, you know, some girl's a Cirque du Soleil, you know, performer. The other person's a parkour athlete. The other person's an Olympian. The other person's a professional fighter, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Just very fit people. Well, they're throwing the women and the men are in the same competition. And it's just revealing. After you watch several episodes, you go, dude, like, the women are not as tall as the men. They're not capable of coming through some of the strength. If you want to create something challenging for a man, it becomes too challenging for a woman when you get into the peak performance. And it's pretty obvious that we're different, you know, and we've done this again for the, you know, if you go to the golf course, there's always been the guys' tees and then the girls' tees, right? They we're trying to remove all that. We're terrified that women might be better at some things than men. We're terrified that men might be better at some things than women. It's as if our culture's theme song has like become, I think it's Betty Hutton's lyrics. Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you, right?
Yeah.
And so like, again, God made it clear. He made us in his image. Man and woman are equal in value and different in role. Our bodies are different. Our biology is different. Our hormones are different. Our minds are different. And we can't allow feminism to emasculate men. And we can't let manhood reduce the value of women.
That's exactly right.
Any effort really to elevate one gender at the cost of another is sinful, broken, and the opposite of God's intended design.
I think a lot of men deal with a father wound early in life. In fact, I just finished reading a sensational book, John Eldridge's Fathered by God. Fantastic book, folks. You got to get a hold of it. But anyway, Dale, Roland Warren, who's the president, guys, of the National Fatherhood Initiative, said this, quote, "Kids have a hole in their soul the shape of their dad. And if a father is unwilling or unable to fill that hole, it can leave a wound that is not easily healed," end quote. So, Dale, how do we recognize a father wound? Okay, man to man, we're talking to men here in this conversation at this moment. How do we recognize a father wound in our lives? In other words, how does it typically manifest as young boys become young men and eventually men?
Yeah, I mean, so I've heard people also say that quote in terms of, you know, the hole, the shape of their father.
Yeah.
And what ultimately happens is that they fill it with something else that shouldn't be there, right? And so whatever they're trying to yearn for. Again, I think, you know, the bigger conversation is I think we give a little bit too much license to the therapy conversation for men.
Okay.
Is that like, we need to go back and understand how you're hurt. Like, I get it. Like, and I think that's important. And I've even gone through that journey, but the reality is that God wants your obedience and your faithfulness and your righteousness now,
yeah,
regardless of what happened when you were a boy. And so I go, hey, you know, God is the great healer. The gospel is able to heal those areas. We don't have perfect fathers, right? We have brokenness in our past.
Sure.
It still isn't license to not walk righteously, to to not to allow our sin to continue to have a stronghold in our life, you know. And so I'm just very careful with the men. Again, I'm a little softer with the women. Yep. But guys, I just go, hey, you know, I think that it's an important conversation to have and to know. And I was mentored by Dr. John Townsend, who wrote the book Boundaries with Dr. Henry Cloud.
Yeah.
And so I got a chance to go through some pretty incredible counseling and therapy and learn those things. The reality is that during that time, I was still expected to have obedience to God's word, and to walk righteously. And you know, the therapy is an important part of understanding who God is and making sure that I'm not projecting my understanding of a father from the earth onto God the Father.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's the big problem, is that we have this perspective of a father. You know, I'll give you another example.
Please do.
You know, if my daughter, right, I am going to show her what a good father is. And one day she's going to recognize that God is a father. And when she recognizes that, she's going to love that because I represented God the Father the best I possibly could. And when you represent a father poorly, meaning that you're a bad father, you are actually like representing the diametrically opposite character of God the Father as a father to a child. So you've been hurt by father. You know, you've been hurt by your father, you've been hurt by men, but you've been hurt by your father. And then all of a sudden you hear, as you get older, you hear the gospel and you hear that God is a father. You go, yeah, I don't want any part of that. Mm-hmm. And so I understand like the healing process of it for sure. And again, it's just looking at what the word says about God and being willing to kind of erase what you've learned about fathers. And I think that's a really important process that you'd continue to do. And you're ultimately, I guess, reconnecting your spiritual DNA back to your one true father.
That's really good. That's good. And Dale, this may sound redundant then, but you know, there are men listening to this conversation who are in their 30s and 40s and 50s and beyond. And so finding healing, they go, oh my gosh, you guys are hitting home. And I realize, yeah, I haven't been the man I'm supposed to be, even in my identity, or I'm in my late 20s or in my early 30s. And I don't know how to get past this Peter Pan kind of thing, or whatever's going on. What real practical steps can these men take?
I mean, again, you know, renewing your mind by reading God's word is the number one thing, and being surrounded by other men who get it. I mean, the other thing is that remember that there's a big difference between someone who mentors you and someone who disciples you. And someone who disciples you is someone who fathers you. Here in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 4, Paul says, you have 10,000 instructors, but you have few fathers, mm-hmm. right? And the idea is that Paul is fathering them. You know, do you have a man fathering you? You know, and it, probably someone that's not your actual father, but someone spiritually fathering you. Yep. And that's a big difference. Every Christian man should have that. That was the original intended design of the church. Mm-hmm. That is what the scriptures call for. And especially even in the Great Commission, right? But we're not seeing that. We're seeing a bankruptcy in that department.
Yeah.
Where you know, almost nobody has somebody who's discipling them. I was a Christian for 10 years before I got discipled.
Wow.
I got tons of great education and information in spectator Christianity or audience Christianity, where I go to a seat and I watch someone speak. I got smart for sure. Like, I knew what the Bible said because someone was teaching it to me, but I wasn't discipled. I wasn't handheld.
Dale, I'd love to take all of that context, all that setup that we just did, and swing into a more dynamic of relationships, and go back to even the interaction between men and women. And the question is this: what feeds a man's soul, and what does he have to do to protect himself from drifting in his heart?
There's nothing sexier to a man, ladies, than a woman who wants to learn from them. Okay, like there's just, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But when a woman comes up to you, and that's why you got to be really careful with a wife that's not your, or a woman that's not your wife, really like looking up to you and like wanting you to lead her. And like, okay, it's really
stay
dangerous
there, Dale.
Territory.
Yeah, stay there. Oh, crack that open. I want to stay there for a second, because that's where drift begins to happen. Yeah, stay there.
Yeah, because the idea is that what you have is you have people, let's just say that you have an assistant, right, that you spend time with every day,
yep.
you know, and you're her provider, right? You're making her paycheck, right? And you spend a lot of time together that's not charged with the emotions of the house life and the consequences of the kids. And if, you know, she, you know, I think John Eldred's on a podcast that I did with him, you know, I think probably a year ago said the number one thing that a woman can say to a man is you're amazing. Right. And
yes,
it is. It's just this like, oh my God, I feel so respected by you. And that's what questions do, right? That's what questions do. And so as a woman, you can easily get your husband to kind of start feeling respected because you go, I want to learn from you. I want you to teach me. And again, if that woman is not your wife, you just be on guard, my friend, because that right there, you're playing with like spiritual biology.
Yeah.
That leads to one spot, and it's just a submissive, you know, a relationship and a dominant relationship with a man. I mean, it turns into something that's just like very kind of raw and natural. And if you're not careful, you're not walking in the spirit, you're walking in sin.
Guys, this is exactly where we have to take responsibility to guard our heart. See, there are zero excuses for infidelity. There are zero excuses for pornography addiction and all that. But the drift tends to happen, I believe, when we don't actively take stock in the issues happening in our heart. Listen, if we don't feel appreciated, if we don't feel heard, if we don't feel respected, it doesn't mean we can just let ourselves drift.
Yeah, I mean, exactly, right? So if a woman emasculates a man, I mean, again, he has no right to do any of this. You know, he has to stay in his role regardless of what's happening.
Yeah.
But what in reality what happens is that he finds a man or he finds a woman who will learn from him, who will be impressed by him, who will, you know, so again, just as much as a woman wants to be complimented or just smiled at or kissed or just a husband walks in and just says, "Hey, why don't you go sit down and let me just do the dishes and just I want you to feel cherished over there." Like, however that feels to a woman is the same way that a woman can make a man feel, right? Through respect and defending her husband or her man in conversation or just representing him well in the public eye. Like, and so, a lot of men turn first to pornography, right? And I go, hey, if you're going to cheat with your eyes, you're going to cheat with your body. It's just a matter of time.
Well, that's right. And I really believe integrity with our eyes matters. Dale, let's swing to the ladies real fast, talk to them. In a recent social media post, you wrote this, quote, "I often see women interpret dating relationships based on the potential of a man instead of the reality of who he is." You went on to write, "Ladies, you must see blatant immaturity in a man as a problem to avoid, not a project to solve." Dale, unpack this. Speak to women joined in this conversation so they can course correct at the heart level, at the belief system first. Here's the deal. We have amazing women listening right now. I believe they want great relationships.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, a man isn't going to change based off of the wedding vows. Not that he can't change because of the wedding vows. That would be descriptive of what happened, not prescriptive of what I'm telling you to do.
Yeah.
You know, meaning that the reality is that people saying I do and vows doesn't all of a sudden say, you know, now I'm going to stop looking at pornography, you know,
right.
or now I'm going to have just eyes for you. You know, I'm not going to look at the girls' butts anymore, you know, I'm finally going to stop drinking now that I said I do, you know, that's not going to, and I'm not an anti-drinking person. I'm an anti-alcoholic person.
Right.
So, this is what I would tell my daughter. I'd say, hey, look, you need to find a man who has two attributes. One is that he's willing to walk in submission to authority.
Yep.
And so he's an obeyer. Okay. Meaning he'll follow the rules. The second thing is that he's a learner. Does he go to conferences? Does he read books? Obviously this man is a Christian already. Like that's just kind of like the foundational floor, right?
Yeah,
but I'm saying on top of that, I go, because if he can walk in submission, he can learn. Because guys who can walk in submission, I've walked in submission for, I don't know, 8 years now. And man, it's hard, especially sometimes it can feel like you're a thoroughbred under a mule, you know? And so it's hard to be humble. But spending a season of walking in submission to another man or to another authority or to a council of people is just a huge mark of a man you want to keep. When he'll just say, you know, I'm actually just going to kind of give up my journey and submit and yield to other men's counsel. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is that, is he a learner? Is he going to actually, because if he's willing to learn and he loves learning, then it's just a great sign into the future, because you just kind of replace that business book with the Bible, and it just is a great thing, you know, and it's an easy thing to do, because, and a lot of men do that in maturity. You know, their 20s, a lot of people are really worried about how to make money, you know, so they spend a lot of time looking about business books and leadership books and all those kind of things. But if someone just loves learning, then it's pretty easy to get that learning to be about everything, from spiritual maturity to how to be a good husband to how to be a good father. And so, so those are the attributes that I see.
Nice.
And I'd recommend for a woman to look for, not just the potential of a man.
That's good. Well, Dale, if I were to say this real quickly, Dale, finish this sentence. Men, every day, make sure you do this for your woman. What would it be?
So there's obviously different stages of women.
Sure.
In terms of, you know, when we first got married, it'll be a little bit different. For me, it's just telling my wife that that she's valuable to me. I remind her of this all the time. I just go, gosh, like, I don't know what I would do without you. I'm gonna give you the context of why. A lot of men really get frustrated at a woman who offers her opinion, who reminds you to, hey, take out the trash, or hey, spend more time with the kids, or hey, why don't you read your Bible? Or hey, you know what, let's start praying together. Hey, we should go to church. Hey, and a man gets frustrated. He actually wants to call it nagging. The problem is it's not nagging. That's helping. And God created woman to help man. Okay, so what you're getting mad at your wife for doing what God made her to do, and that is to help. And so I'm reminding and affirming my wife, I don't know what I would do without you.
Wow.
Like again, that's why I say those things, because I want to remind her of what God created her for, right?
Yeah.
And I also will say, hey, another thing that I do, again, this is my story, is that before I put out a post, I go, hey, can you read this? I want your opinion on it.
That's awesome.
And so she, dude, I can't tell you, again, the reservoir of wisdom in that woman, because so many times she goes, hey, I know what you're trying to say, but I think that that word right there is going to be received incorrectly. You should probably change that.
Yes. Right.
And I go, okay, good. Yeah. I would have not caught that.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
And so, again, I think that our women need to be reminded is that, just tell them how good of a helper they are.
That's
and that you really, really value that, because, you want more of that. You want more help. It's not nagging. It's helping.
That's awesome. Well, speaking of you and Veronica, your young parents, how do you two prioritize connection in your relationship? How do you, Dale, lead her well in order to help her and then empower her to become the best version of herself?
Yeah. So two things. This is just, again, this is the man's responsibility. Again, it's part of cherishing your wives. What I do every week is I make sure that one, that we have a babysitter. I found the babysitter through mutual friends, and I talked to Veronica about that. But I really kind of set that up of a schedule, a babysitter schedule. So every week we have a date night. So I take my wife out on a date every week. The husband who stops dating his wife is an idiot. Okay, so I don't want to get more any eloquent than that. You have to continue to date your wife. And so I take my wife out every week, and I plan what we're going to do. We're going to, you know, and again, it's not super special every time, because we've been married for, you know, going on 9 years, but I still plan where we're going to go to dinner, and I still try to make it fun. I still open her door. I still spend time with her, having conversation. I'm not on my phone. And we talk about things. We also, on our date nights, we don't talk about problems. We enjoy each other. There are plenty of other times to talk about problems. So if I have an issue that I want to bring up with her, or if she has an issue that she wants to bring with me, we're not talking about it. It's time to, hey, let's fall in love with each other some more.
That's good.
And that's what we do. So, and then secondly, I've arranged for another babysitter day for a 4-hour period every week, during the day, for my wife to go and do things that she needs to get done without kids. It's small. We don't use babysitters really outside of that at all. So we're not like outsourcing our parenting, but that 4-hour period, she'll go to Costco and to Whole Foods and crush through what she would take her 2.5 hours to get it done in 30 minutes. Right. Cause she can just go fast without kids. And then she'll go and, meet up with a friend for coffee.
That's awesome.
For a half hour to an hour and just talk and chat. And then she might go read a book for a little bit and then come home. And she is excited to see the kids because she actually missed the kids. I found that a wife that doesn't have time to miss her children can become bitter, angry, frustrated. Not that she hates her kids. She loves her kids, but just you need a break from them. And so among that, I also, we do, Veronica does a couple things per week that, or per month, you know, our church, our little home church that we do, got what's called a Titus II meeting or Women of the Word. And yeah, and I watch the kids and then vice versa. She does the same thing for me. I have a Wednesday morning thing and I have a Wednesday night thing. And
that's cool.
And so we're very good at just kind of sharing off those things. And it was simply because we saw older couples that had fruit on the tree, man. I'm talking watermelons hanging from the tree.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Right? That I go, dang, I want that family.
Yep.
Like, I want my marriage like that. And when you see other people do it, because remember, you can't create what you haven't seen. It's very difficult.
Oh, that's so rich. That's so good.
And so when you start to see it in other people's lives, you go, ooh, I want that.
Yep.
And it's pretty easy once you start kind of being around it.
That's awesome. Dale, what would you say is the biggest present-day threat to marriage?
Homosexuality. I mean, I think that just the it's the confusion of sexuality, right? I think that is in terms of the grand narrative. So what ultimately the purpose of marriage is fruitfulness. The gospel is wrapped up in a marriage, right? So it is literally the representation of Christ and his bride. And so when you see Christ and his bride, you know, when you see a married couple, it's just a mini gospel that you're watching walk through.
I agree.
Downtown. And that's why it's so important that you don't want to be fighting in public as Christians, because you don't want to be, you know, oh, look at marriage. Oh, look, it doesn't
right,
work. You know?
Right.
So I think that's a big threat. I think pornography is probably, in terms of a more practical answer, I think it's probably the next giant threat. From the outside, I think that the third, if I had to give a third one, it would be biblical illiteracy. We just don't know the Bible, and we don't believe that it's true. And so, yeah, I mean, if you believe the Bible, everything changes, right? And it's so funny when what makes the Bible true to me is that I look at, like, my parents got a divorce when I was 18. And I just look at their story and I go, man, if they would have just followed the Bible, they wouldn't be divorced. And I look at any broken situation, any sin, like whether it's murder, whether it's alcoholism, whether it's a broken home, whether it's child trafficking, prostitution, I just go, man, if they just followed the Bible, none of that would happen.
Yeah.
And so it just makes it range true as I go, the Bible is, I mean, it works. Like, if you just follow it works.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of the biggest threats is that we just don't want to know the Bible and do what it says.
Yeah.
And it's sad because it's like broken marriages that are walking past the halls of their bookshelves and the answer is sitting on the bookshelf.
Yep.
Right. And they just walk right past it every day, fighting, arguing, wondering what's going wrong. I have anxiety, I have insomnia, I have depression, I'm broken. This isn't working, blah, blah, blah. And the answer is, it's so ironic because it's just sitting right there on the shelf. They just open it up and start walking in it.
That's good.
And so, yeah, hope that answers it.
Oh, it does, Dale. And you know, on that, we've got just a few minutes left in our conversation today, but I'd love to quickly touch on parenting. You know, Dale, often parents are just tired. Do you believe in picking your battles? Rather, do you and Veronica believe in picking your battles with your children when it comes to discipline, or is consistency worth the headache and inconvenience?
We're consistent. We don't generally allow any disobedience to go past Now we are maybe saying, you know, Veronica will come to me and ask me, hey, Dale, what do you want to see the kids grow in this month?
Yeah.
You know, where do you want to see, because Veronica's the executor, right? She's with them all day, right? She's with them more than I am. And so she'll come to me for my vision about what do you want for the children in our home? Like, where are you leading this family? And so there's emphasis maybe on certain things, right? And
yeah,
you know, Aria,
right,
hey,
right.
You know, she's still being a little bit attitude when she is obedient, but she does it with an attitude. I want you to work on that with her.
Sure.
You know, and so we well, there's emphasis for sure, like ultra focus on certain things. But at the end of the day, consistency, yeah, beats frequency every single time. So we are very consistent. A book that we've read that we just recommend to everybody is Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp. Fantastic.
Awesome.
On parenting. And one tip I'll say is that through raising children, you have to be able to break their will without breaking their spirit.
That's so good.
That is the thing that I've learned, is that you got to be able to break their will without breaking their spirit. And it's a hard thing to do, because if you lose your child's heart, and we got to remember, people, parents, the war for your child's heart is not when they're 14.
Yep.
The war for your child's heart is when they're 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, meaning that the world is fighting for your child's heart now.
Man.
And if you are not careful, you'll lose your child's heart. You'll gain your kid's obedience and lose their heart. And that is a train wreck. You need to be able to say, I've got my child's heart and I've got my child's obedience.
Yeah.
Because if you have them both, you don't need to worry about them as they grow older. You know, raise a child in the way that they should go, and when they get older, they will not depart.
They won't depart. Right. Wow. Folks, hit pause, rewind, because that was about 15 and a half seconds of gold. So I'm going to go, wow. Dale, this one's from a listener. I took some listener questions beforehand, and she asked, as a young 20-something, what are the things I should be doing now in terms of preparing for a relationship and a family?
Yeah, I mean, one, it's just a good thing to desire, you know, desire a husband, desire a family. I think that's just a good thing to be praying for. And again, just, you know, walking, practicing, right? So I just go, watching kids, spending time with a lot of children. Like, children are a good thing, you know? Children are called a blessing 134 times in a variety of different ways in the scriptures, right? It's just, children are a blessing. And so just being around other married couples that are just one season ahead, just really helpful. I did that a lot, and my wife did that a lot. We just were around other married couples. And we just got a chance to peek into like the next season of life, the realities of it. And again, just make yourself available in terms of just, you know, I'm a big fan of just, you know, the relationship games that people play.
Yeah.
I'm just not a fan. I just go, just be real, have straight talk. Whew. Don't have a date, you know, don't have a date without even asking the question. Hey, you know, serious questions.
Yep. Like,
I don't want to waste one date with a person that I don't want to, that I couldn't marry. So
that's good.
You know? So that's my advice to all women and men on that journey.
Oh, Dale, that's awesome. Well, Dale, I mean, to that, you've provided so much thought and inspiration today and a lot of challenge, folks. Dale, I'd love to just distill today's conversation down just to a few, if we can, really practical, actionable items. I love to put action behind theory. So after having listened to our conversation, what do you want people to know and what do you want people to do?
What I want them to know is that quote that I started with is that if you believe wrong, you'll never live strong. And we have to be, as Christians, in the business of replacing lies with the truth. And the only thing that we're going to do that with is the Word of God.
That's it.
So you need to be able to read your Bible and believe it.
Yep.
And so I would say, you know, spend time reading through the New Testament. And I think that just constantly, like I read through the Bible, I try to read through the Bible every year.
Yeah.
And just, it's important. And again, you're not going to thrive without knowing that truth. The fastest way to the best life is through God's Word. And so if you can just know that about you, you get to have God's mind on the matter.
That's it.
On all things.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's just my suggestion that I would tell. When my kids go to bed, they're 2 and 4 and they're in their room right now. And I walk into the room every night and I go, hey guys, what's the most important thing you can ever do? And they go, follow God's word.
Come on.
And that's every night. And I want them to remember that, because I don't want them to, you know, when I die, I want them to know, follow God's word. That's the most important thing.
So good. Wow. Dale, thank you so much. How can we connect with you?
Yeah, unlearnchurch.org, relearnchurch.org. That's a church planting site. I'm helping, you know, people create and plant biblical house churches. I blog there. Facebook and Instagram are kind of my main jams.
Yep.
I have, you know, 500,000 people that are following along there. I'm posting there several times a day, every day. And that's where I'm writing my new book. You can pre-order it on Amazon right now, which is Saved from Success, just under Dale Partridge. You'll be able to find that.
So good.
But yeah, that's it.
Awesome. Folks, I'm going to have links to the parenting book Dale mentioned, as well as links to all Dale's stuff. But Dale, this is the last question, and I think something that really hits home with me, something I believe is really critical for this conversation. And Dale, what's your favorite episode of Everybody Loves Raymond? Because it's my favorite sitcom.
Is it really?
Oh, Dale, it's I'm looking across the studio right now, and I'm looking at all 9 seasons of DVDs right now. Not kidding.
Okay. So I would probably think that it's either the Crazy Chin.
Oh, so good.
Robert's problem with, he touches food to his chin.
Yes.
Or the bird hitting the window with Pat and
the McDougals.
McDougals.
Oh.
Or Pat's Secret, where she gets caught smoking.
Gosh.
Those are like the best episodes. That show is so good. Again, and it's so funny because you have to, like, I started watching Everybody Loves Raymond years ago, and so it's got a little nostalgic thing to me. But
for sure,
we can't think that our theology is derived from that show, because it's not. But it is generally a clean show in comparison to like Friends or Seinfeld.
Oh my gosh, I absolutely love it. Yeah, wow. Holy,
such a funny show.
Holy crap.
Yep, exactly.
Oh my gosh. Folks, you are listening to Win Today. I am talking with Dale Partridge. Dale, this has been, wow, what a journey. Thank you so much for taking the time for all of us. Guys, Dale Partridge is a national best-selling author, founder of StartupCamp.com, as well as we just heard, UnlearnChurch.org. Thanks for joining us here on Win Today.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Truly, truly an honor. Wow, what a challenging conversation. You know, guys, I really believe in order to become the best we're capable of becoming, we need conversations, inspiration, and challenge that are going to cause us to sharpen the saw in our own lives. Well, up next, my good friend, mentor, Joe Peachy is here. We're going to be talking about how to separate good projects and goals from great projects and goals in order to be your very best. Here's Joe. Well, today I'm here with business coach, speaker, and trainer Joe Peachy. Joe, I think it's easy to chase after the newest opportunities as they come our way. There's an inherent allure in new things because they're new, but we can't be effective at everything. So how do we better differentiate between good projects and goals and great projects and goals? Go for it.
Number one, we have to know what we want as an end result. We want to know, how do we want this to end? What do we want to accomplish? Then we have to know a drop-dead deadline. When do we want this done? And most importantly, why? Once we have fixed that in place, what I want, when I want it, why I want it, then every opportunity that is presented to us, every time we decide to get distracted, to go after the shiny rock, whatever, we have to ask ourselves one and only one question. Is this opportunity I'm being presented the best choice to get me where I have predetermined I want to be? So if it's going to take me further away from it, I don't do it. It's going to take me closer to my mission, I do it.
Thanks again for joining my conversation this week with Dale Partridge. Connect with him over at startupcamp.com, or as we said in the conversation, unlearnchurch.org. Guys, he's all over social media. Over 1 million people follow his work. So go check him out on Facebook and Instagram in particular. Also, I will have links to purchase his best-selling books in the show notes too. Just go to wintoday.tv/episode79. That's wintoday.tv/episode79. Guys, Win Today exists because I believe that no matter what happens to you and me in life, we have the opportunity to pursue wholeness. That's what Win Today is all about, giving you a roadmap to become ridiculously whole. from the inside out. How's it work? We defeat the self-doubt and intimidation that keeps so many of us stuck because of limiting beliefs about our past and even our present-day circumstances. And guys, as always, if this show is empowering you to live a better life, I encourage you to hit that subscribe button on whichever podcast host you use. Then write a review if you would. It means so much to me. Using your mobile app or your desktop computer on iTunes. Guys, it'll take no more than 2 minutes. And don't forget, as I mentioned at the top of the show, if you're in Metro Detroit, go see my friends over at Kingsfield Grooming. Book your appointment right now at kingsfieldgrooming.com. Mention Win Today, and you'll save $5 on your haircut. Tell Jamie and the guys I sent you. Listen up, don't miss next week's show. I can't believe it. We're talking all about how to have better sex in your marriage. So if you're married, get ready. If you're single, get ready to take some notes. It's going to be good. Till next week, visit me over at wintoday.tv for blog posts and archive podcasts, all designed to help you become the very best you're capable of becoming. I believe in you. Bye-bye.